get so yawny when we do these.
Why?
Not like Yanni, the flute player.
You're listening to Swept Together, the story of a modern romance between two adventurers, at home, at work, and on the road.
We're your hosts, Christian and Annabelle. Join us as we explore the world and make our home together, wherever we end up.
Because after all, home is...
where you map your route.
Welcome to episode 22. Home is where you map your route.
Woohoo!
And is it route or route? Is it more correct to say route or route?
I think you could say...
or route?
What? I think you could say either pronunciation.
Is it better one way or the other? Is one more snooty than the other? Which one's the snootier one?
I don't know. I say route.
Route? So that's a snootier one?
Calling me snooty?
I'm just asking.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, in the past couple of weeks, we have been talking about all of our travels from sea to shining sea, meaning West Coast to the East Coast. And we have been getting a lot of questions about actually how we do it. And we've been meaning to do this episode for a while, talking about how we travel so much and how we can afford it and what we do to do that, because we definitely don't afford all of it ourselves. We have a little bit of help. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Hashtag travel hacking.
Yes, travel hacking.
Yeah, so as you've heard us talk about on the show so far, you know, travel is one of our core values as a couple. And we really, really encourage everyone that we can to also get out there and travel.
With each other, you know, as a couple.
Yeah.
Or just in general.
Or just in general, even if you're not in a couple right now. I think...
solocations are a thing.
I think there's something really valuable to seeing different parts of the world. I, for one, grew up in a very homogenous neighborhood, and travel as a child was something that opened my eyes to different cultures, different people's experiences, and helped me to understand that the way that I live is not the only way that people live.
How homogenous was your neighborhood?
Super homogenous. I looked up the statistics the other day. It was
3,000% all Annabelles.
Yes. It was just me.
Every
in my neighborhood, it was only
me. Every person was named Annabelle. Coincidentally, I think.
No. But it was almost 95% white. I don't remember the exact statistics, but it was basically all people who looked like me.
Yeah.
So, traveling...
I literally couldn't figure out where she was when I turned around at Starbucks when we went there in Thanksgiving.
It's like that...
like, where are you? I don't know where you are. Future fiancé, where are you? You weren't my fiancé at the time. I didn't say future fiancé.
Oh, that's right. That was over Thanksgiving. Yeah, no, it's a very homogenous neighborhood, and which is, you know, it is what it is. But I think that travel is what provided me the opportunity as a child to experience diversity. And I think that was really valuable.
So that's a good reason for travel. But even if you are, like I grew up in, I guess I would say, fairly somewhat heterogeneous, because I mean I think there were maybe 50% Caucasian, like 20% Asian, 20% Mexican, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then the remainder was, you know, African American and Native American to a smaller percentage. something like that. So mostly Caucasians, Mexicans, and Asians were at my school. So I had a little bit more diversity than what you experienced at your, and this was just in high school, in my immediate neighborhood.
Right, right.
Once I got to college, like, all bets were off.
Right.
Once I got to, well, when I was in computer science major, then it was like all Indian, and then me, and then my two white friends. Just kidding. No.
Once I was in college, I mean, I lived in like downtown Chicago, which of course is very diverse. So yeah, but I think travel, it introduces you to cultures that aren't your own, the people that are different than you. I don't know. It also just like impacts your mindset on like, I don't know, valuing the environment, value learning history. Like there's so many things you can learn through travel.
And as a couple, you know, the exercise of putting together a travel itinerary or like figuring out where you want to go, what you want to do, you know, that's a thing that we do together that I think brings us together, because, you know, it like we have to work as a team, because it's not just a, you know, me or you trying to dictate where we're going to go next and what we're going to do and see. But it's like, well, what do you want to do? You know, let's figure that out. And then we do research together. We book flights and stuff together and, you know, figure out where we want to go and where we want to stay, you know, and it helps us kind of like, you know, compromise on things. If I want to stay at this particular Airbnb, for example, and you're like, nah, that looks kind of scuzzy. And I'm like, what? This looks awesome. Or whatever. You know, it's just something that we can exercise our compromise muscle together as a couple.
Yeah, and traveling, our trips together was the first time we started budgeting together.
Right, right.
It was like our little practice.
Like, is this going to work forever?
Right, like a small scale budgeting exercise as a couple, you know, travels like a...
Right.
We each contributed and decided how much we were going to spend and stuff like that. And those are important conversations to have in a relationship. Right. So.
I mean, because if you're in a dating relationship and you're, you know, you're able to do this, and historical behavior kind of predicts future behavior, and if you can work out stuff like that, like traveling, then it bodes well for future for what the future holds for your relationship.
Definitely. So if you want to check out our past episodes, which we have several that talk about budgeting specifically, and obviously loads that talk about travel, you can listen to old episodes on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And if you're listening on either iTunes or the podcast app, we would really appreciate it if you took the time to leave us a review and rate us on iTunes. This is super helpful and in increasing the number of eyes that get to see our podcast within the podcast app.
You said it again. You said number of eyes. It's ears.
No.
To listen to us.
Right. But they first have to see us. Like, we have to come up in searches and we have to come up on the page.
Okay. I think this is literally the same exact conversation.
We've had this argument before. I'm right. It's fine.
Okay.
If you need instructions on the confusing process of leaving a review, you can go to swepttogether.com/share the love.
And speaking of sharing the love, we wanted to share some of the travel love with you in this episode, because, like I said, we've gotten to travel so much in the past year. Like in the last episode, was it the last episode we talked about how many times we traveled? Was one or two episodes ago we talked about like how many times we traveled in 2016 alone. And we have a number of travel things happening
Yes.
In the immediate, in 2017, we'll be traveling, but in a different capacity, an RV. But so we wanted to pass along some of the information that we've learned that helped us mm-hmm. to travel and save money on travel or travel for free.
Yep.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Travel hacking.
Yeah. And like Annabelle said, like traveling is kind of core to who we are. In fact, on our first date, you were jet lagged.
I was. You can hear the whole story in episode 0, which is our origin story.
Right. So go to our website, sweptogether.com/episode0 to listen to that. Or if you're already subscribed, just, you know, swipe.
Scroll back, yeah.
Down.
But yeah, on our first date, I had just gotten back from a trip to Turkey and Romania with my dad. So I was crazy jet lagged. It forebode, I guess, the future of our relationship, where we have traveled at least once a month, I think.
Yeah, an average of about once a month somewhere yeah. to do something different than staying at home.
Right. And we've got a lot of trips coming up on the docket. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
But this year is definitely going to look a lot different than last year. Last year was a lot of domestic travel. We did 2 international
flying
trips.
Flying travel. Yeah.
Flying travel. And then this year, we're going to be mostly driving in the RV.
Right. Still domestic, mostly.
Right.
But a smattering here and there of some international stuff.
Right. So even just in the next 2 months, February and March, we'll be heading to Belize, Argentina, and Antarctica, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah. So, I mean, Antarctica, and why are you so excited? You should maybe say why.
I'm so excited because it's my final continent. I'm going to achieve my goal of visiting all 7 continents before I turn 30. And I turn 30 at the end of March. So we're scooting in right at the buzzer, but we're going to make it.
Yeah. And then after that, we're going to be going to Argentina. Did we already say Argentina?
Sorry. Yeah, I did say Argentina.
Yeah, we're going to spend a couple of days in Buenos Aires. So we'll be in freezing cold temperatures in Antarctica, and then somehow still have to pack for summer weather in Argentina,
yep.
in Buenos Aires.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the questions we've gotten is like, how are you doing all of this travel? How are you affording all of this stuff? And I will, so before we get into that, I wanted to caveat with a couple of things. Because I was thinking about this, and I don't know if this is as easy as it would have been unless, like, you were a willing travel partner. So,
right.
like, you need a willing travel partner if we're going to travel together, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, if traveling is not something that your partner is interested in, then, you know, traveling by yourself would probably be better than trying to do this, what we're going to tell you. Another thing is like to be in a good place financially. And that's why we really harp on, you know, budgeting and, you know, living within your means and doing all that so that you can, you know, when those good deals happen to come up, then you can say, oh, I've got the money to pay for that ticket to go travel somewhere. Right. Or even like take time off from work. If you're like at a
right.
job that you have to. You know, you don't have enough time off because for whatever reason that's not your thing, then, you know, anyway.
Yeah, so all of these principles will definitely work wherever you're at. I mean, you can start, like, earning points and saving up and stuff wherever you're at. It just may not be, when you're starting out, you're not going to be able to do this every month
right
from the beginning. It's kind of like a process of learning the system and earning points and stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I want to mention is that traveling will get you out of your comfort zone. So, you know, it's a good kind of discomfort. The bad kind of discomfort is like when, you know, your mom says, you gotta finish all your food. And you're like, I'm full. And then, you know, you still have to eat all of it. Like, that's bad discomfort to me because, you know, it doesn't make you any better to do that. I mean, you're more full, I guess.
And makes you're
more,
you
more fed.
More well-rounded.
And so, well, like, that's the bad kind of discomfort. The good kind of discomfort is something that adds value to your life, even if you're uncomfortable doing it.
You know, like growing pains.
Growing pains, right. Like going to the gym. Like, I hate going to the gym and lifting weights and stuff. That sucks. But then, you know, you feel better afterwards and you look good and you find an awesome fiance because you've been working out all the time.
Yep.
And then you're so super
ripped.
You
can put your abs on your dating profile.
Right. Definitely put your abs on the dating profile. Lift up your shirt. Guys, just lift up your shirt. Put it out there. And that's your profile picture.
Oh, God.
And then they will come flooding into your inbox.
This
that's
is horrible advice.
Yeah, it is.
Don't take this advice.
Okay. So let's start with...
Let's move more into our area of expertise.
Right. Anyway, I am an expert at the ladies, if I say so myself.
Oh, yeah?
I got you.
That's true.
Ah-ha-ha-ha. So the first thing is loyalty to your, you know, various airlines or whatnot.
Airline of choice, yes.
Right. So wherever you're at, we happen to be in Denver, which is a hub for two different airlines, United and Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, like, Frontier... because they're a Denver-based company.
Yeah.
So Denver is a hub. But we don't fly Frontier because I just don't like them.
Yeah. Look, I just don't like the... Just look up your airport and find out which airlines are a hub at your airport.
Right.
And those might be a good airline to focus on because you'll probably have the most access to deals.
Right. And they'll be cheaper from those places. You know, hubs tend to be cheaper because... like, so many flights
There's
come in.
There's more flights, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, pick one, whatever you like, and keep going with that.
Yeah.
If you can. You know, I know it's more expensive sometimes, but, you know, that's where having a little bit of planning will help in terms of affording flights initially. So, it'll be slow
right.
going a little bit. So, it'll be kind of like a, you know, like that hockey stick growth, like what they talk about, where it's like really shallow, you know, you're incrementally going up and up. If I'm looking at a graph, pretend you're looking at a graph.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you start at zero and zero, right, at the uh-huh. intersect. And then it like slowly goes up over time. And then eventually, once you get like status and once you like learn how to do all of this stuff, then you can like travel quite a bit.
Right.
That's what hockey stick growth is.
Okay.
I'll put an image of hockey stick growth, what I'm talking about, on the show notes. Anyway, so we used to be with, like, United.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were very loyal to United until, and we'll talk about this in a second, until Southwest, I learned about this Southwest Companion Pass thing.
Yep.
And then we became loyalists to Southwest. And
yes,
for
although
different
I will
reasons.
Say
for different reasons,
I
yeah.
am still accruing points on United. We used United points to buy our tickets to Argentina to get us towards Antarctica. And so the upside to United versus Southwest is that it has much more international options, whereas Southwest...
Right.
is mostly a domestic airline with some
international,
Central
but mostly
and
like
Caribbean, Central
yeah.
America and Caribbean
and
locations.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind too. If traveling internationally is what you're going to be doing or what you want to be doing, you want to pick an airline to earn points on that also goes to where you want to go.
Right. Right. So, and then you can look at the alliances too. They have the United is with the Star Alliance, so you can go on United and still and then earn points on other with other airlines if you buy, you know, like Turkish Airlines, you said, right? It was the Star Alliance. So when you bought your Turkish Airlines ticket, you still earned United miles.
Correct.
Even though it wasn't a United flight, United branded flight. It was because of the Alliance. So keep that in mind as well. And then there's two different experiences between United and Southwest. Southwest is more like a bus. Like you just go in to whatever seat you want and they take you from point A to B.
Right.
And then United is a little bit more like a traditional airline where they have like first class and economy plus and, you know, the regular economy seating, that kind of thing. So it's different experiences. So whatever you're most comfortable with, you know, go with that.
Yeah. If you're not going to earn status, I would say Southwest experience is better than economy on United.
Yeah, if you're not into like first class kind of travel, if you just want to get from point A to B, then I would definitely say Southwest is more accommodating for that because the legroom is pretty uniform throughout the whole plane, as opposed to United, where if you're like with the plebs, when we have to buy the economy, you know, seating, it's like I've got 2 centimeters between me and the next chair in front of me.
So when we flew United, we had status with them. And so that afforded us things like free bags, priority boarding,
Economy plus
seating,
which is like more than what Southwest has.
Which is more legroom. Right?
Yeah, but yeah.
So that made flying United like a very enjoyable experience for us, I would say, for the most part. And that we got there by being loyal to United, getting all of our points on United, doing all of our travel on United, eventually, you know, got us to the place where we had status with them.
Right. So, using the credit card, signing up for...
Right. We both had United Mileage Plus credit cards.
Right.
So that was how we were doing it before. But now we've switched our allegiance primarily to Southwest.
Right, because of this companion pass. And this companion pass is fantastic. You basically, it's a buy one, get one. It's like a BOGO. So if you earn the companion pass, and we'll talk about how to earn that in a second. If you earn the companion pass, then you plus a named companion can travel on the same itinerary for free. So you buy one, the person who earned a companion pass buys a ticket.
Right.
Either through points or like with cash.
Right.
And then whatever that ticket is, whatever that itinerary is, the named companion, you have to state who it is, and then you can only change it like 3 times over the course of the companion pass. That person can then travel with you on the same itinerary for free. And by free, I mean like actually free.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, it has to be the same price. You know, I can buy a companion pass, or excuse me, I can buy a ticket for, let's say, $200 today. And then, you know, a month from now, if that ticket goes up in price to like $400, then I can still be like, oh, I want my companion to travel with me. And then it's free.
As long as there's a seat on the plane.
As long as they haven't sold out, of course.
And you just have to pay the whatever the government fees are. So domestically, it's $5.60.
Yeah, one way.
Internationally, there's more fees, but, you know.
Yeah, I find that it's different depending on, like, when we did Belize, it was like $73 or something.
Right.
For one way from Belize.
Uh-huh.
But then when we did, like, Cancun, it was different. It was like $60, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
It was a different price. So I'm guessing there's some sort of difference between the different international places.
Right. Whatever those fees are, you still have to pay those even for the companion pass. But the price is minuscule compared to what you would pay.
Right. And so here's how you get the companion pass. you have to earn 110,000 points, rapid rewards points, on that are qualifying rapid rewards points.
Within a calendar year.
Within one calendar year. So that sounds like a lot, but here's the thing. We did some research online and found out that there was two chase cards. There's actually three chase cards that you can get. So there's three chase credit cards that you can get, the Southwest Plus and the Southwest Premium chase cards, and then the Southwest Business chase card. So what we did, I signed up for the Southwest Plus and the Southwest Premier card.
Mm-hmm.
So then, and you have to spend $2,000 within the first 3 months. You have to swipe, basically, $2,000 within the first 3 months on each card. And then each card, after you get over to $2,000, gets you 50,000 points each. So then once we did 50,000 points, or once we essentially paid $4,000 worth of stuff in the 3 months, then we earned 100,000 points, right?
Right.
Plus you also earn the points that you accumulated. So if you spent $4,000, now that's $104,000. So now
you have 104,000 points.
Sorry, 104,000 points.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks, babe. So 104,000 points, and the remaining 6,000 can either be, you know, you could swipe some more and earn the 6,000 points, or you can already have been traveling on Southwest, for example, and earn it that way as well. So then you have 110,000 points. And this isn't something that you swap out. It's actually like once you reach, it's like a status level. So once you reach that status, you don't lose 110,000 points. You just have the companion pass. And so once we got the companion pass, we had the companion pass plus we had 110,000 points.
Right.
So
which we could reward, which we could redeem for flights.
For flights. So if a flight was, you know, 15,000 points round trip, that would have been 30,000 points for the both of us. But because of the companion pass, it's only 15,000 points for me and then free for Annabelle.
Yep.
And then, so that's how you can earn the companion pass. That's one way you can earn a companion pass. Or, I mean, you can be traveling so much that you can earn a companion pass.
Right. You can do a lot of traveling. But that might not be the best option timing-wise, because what we learned is when you earn the companion pass, you basically have the rest of the year that you earned it plus the full year after to use it. So we earned the companion pass in, I think, like May was about around when we got it. And our first travel with the companion pass was in June of last year. So we essentially we'll get a year and a half of companion pass usage.
Right, because that expires December 31st of 2017.
Right. So we've since discovered, I mean, we signed up for this like pretty much as soon as we heard about it. But if you have the ability to plan, like right now would be a great time to apply for cards and earn a bunch of points if you can swing it, because you'll have the companion pass for the entirety of 2017 as well as the entirety of 2018.
Right.
So the earlier in the year you can earn the companion pass, the longer you'll have to use it before it expires.
Yeah. So if you wanted to like really game the system, you could open your card like in November, right? And then like earn just under 2,000 on each of those cards. And then like in January, you can like get yourself over the 2,000 limit and then earn the 100,000 points on each of those cards. And then like...
Right.
And then earn the...
So you'll still have like 10,000 points or something to go at the beginning 6, of the year. Well, no, because if you did any spending in the prior year, it wouldn't count towards the companion pass.
Oh, right, yeah.
So you'd basically, if you earned the 100,000 points in January,
yeah,
you'd only have to do a minute, like a small amount relatively of spending and or flying in the first part of the year,
right,
to get you the rest of the way there.
Right.
That's the best way to hack the system is to try to earn your points as early in the year as possible.
Right. And then there's other things that we can do to keep the companion pass, and maybe we'll talk about those in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We also use the Mileage Plus app. You mentioned the Mileage Plus app. What is that?
Yeah. So when I was concentrating my mileage earning on United, I did a couple of different things to make sure that I was earning points on as much of my spending as possible. So, like I mentioned, I had the United Mileage Plus credit card.
So then you get a dollar per point, minimum a dollar per point.
Right. And then they gave you some benefits for, buying United
flights.
Right.
I think it was like 2 to 1 or something. So right. Every dollar you spend on a United flight is like two miles.
Right. But what you can do to earn even more points per dollar, there's a couple different things. One is the Mileage Plus Explorer app, which is an app for iPhone. I'm assuming they have an Android, but I don't know for sure. And that you could basically, it's a shopping portal for a bunch of different stores. And you can go and see
like Amazon, too.
Including Amazon, although Amazon's rewards have gotten, like, worse and worse. or the points per dollar. But in any case, if, say, like, when I bought my laptop, my new MacBook Pro, I used a United Mileage Plus shopping portal.
So you went to United.com.
Right.
And then you like clicked around to find right. It. Like shop. There's a tab or something, right?
Yeah,
like a link
called
shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I bought the computer through United's shopping portal, and they were having a special, so it was like 3 points per dollar. And I used my Mileage Plus Explorer credit card to buy the laptop.
So then you get the 3 points per dollar plus the dollar per point
right.
on the United.
Right. So yeah. I mean, and that's like a big purchase. So it's handy if you know you're going to be
buying something expensive. Yeah.
You can really maximize your points earning potential by you doing like the shopping portals. Some people get really, really into it, and they'll like only buy
stuff from the portal.
Stuff from the portals, or they have dining programs where you can register your credit card to earn bonus miles at certain restaurants that are in, American Airlines has one, United has one. All of these like major airlines will have a dining program, a shopping portal, those kinds of things. And so just a little bit of research, like I registered my United Plus credit card with the United Mileage Plus dining program, and I wasn't very intentional about it. It's not like I was researching restaurants and stuff that were specifically part of the program, although that's something that you can do. But occasionally I'd get this, nice surprise email that was like, you just earned, 25 extra miles or 50 extra miles or whatever. And
right.
it's basically like a, just trying to earn as many as possible because they all add up. I think I discovered that Burger King was part of the United Mileage Plus dining program. I went and bought a soda while I was on the road and got an email that was like, you just earned 6 miles. I was like, oh, okay.
And that could go with United or Southwest, or I'm assuming all of the other
American. Yeah, whatever.
Go to rewardsnetwork.com, and we'll link to that as well in show notes.
Right. There's websites you can go to that will even compare. Like if you're going to shop at Apple, you could compare which airline has the best points promotion with Apple right now. If you want to get, you know, there's all kinds of, like I know there's a group that will do like a sprint, a dining sprint.
Sprint.
And so for like the dining rewards programs, if you dine like 12 times with them or something, you get...
Like bonus miles?
Yeah, it essentially increase your earning potential. So say instead of earning 1 mile per dollar, you earn 2 miles per dollar or 3 miles per dollar. So they'll do this sprint where they try to eat at all dining program restaurants and they try to earn all 12 of their individual transactions in like 2 days or maybe even a day. They do like a diner sprint. And so then for the rest of the year, they have the increased miles earning. So you can get as far into this as you want, or you can just, I mean, at the very least, we recommend signing up for a credit card if your credit supports it and you're responsible with credit cards.
Right.
'Cause I know that can be a temptation for some people, but we pay off our balances at the end of every month. And we, you know, since we budget, we don't end up getting into trouble with credit cards. So I'll plug this real quick. This is not a sponsor drop. This is just something that I used personally to learn about the whole world of travel hacking. There's a course on Creative Live called Make Your Dream Trip a Reality. And that is with Chris Gulibo and Stephanie Zito, and they go through, they do it live every so often, and then sometimes you can either watch it live whenever it comes up on the calendar, or you can purchase all the classes. But that was super helpful for me in like translating all of these reward networks, the shopping portals, the credit cards. Like there's a lot. And you can delve into that. You know, it's like a 30-day class. And you can, you know, get as complex as you want, depending on how fast you want to hack the system. Or, you know, how complicated you want to get. So we'll link to that in the show notes as well. I got a lot of value out of that. And use a lot of that information when I'm making my decisions.
And there's several other places that we like to go. We'll link to those in our show notes. You know, they're basically just like other networks, rewards networks that you can join.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like rocketmiles.com is a good one for if you want to go on hotels, for example. You can, you know, you're going to stay at a hotel when you're traveling and you might as well earn points as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, I just looked at one in Denver just for curiosity's sake. So I saw a hotel in Denver, in the Denver area for $70 a night. And for two nights, you can earn 2,000 rewards points. So like two nights, $140, $160 plus with all the taxes or whatever, you can earn more points on Rocket Miles than you would if you flew Southwest. Like you
right.
You couldn't earn 2,000 points on Southwest just by buying a round trip ticket.
For
$160 round trip ticket.
Right.
That would only give you like 800 points or something. So definitely use all of these places that we'll link to just increase the number of miles you earn.
Right.
So speaking of earning miles with each other, some loyalty.
Oh gosh, so much cheese.
Do you want to do the sweep up?
Sure, we can do the sweep up.
What made you feel loved today?
It made me feel loved that when you came home from your errands today, you came home with cookies.
It's Girl Scout cookie time.
Yes.
Girl Scout cookie season.
Yes. And I was kind of a grump this morning, and I just appreciated that you did something that made me really happy.
You're welcome, babe.
What made you feel loved today?
What made me feel loved was how you support me in a lot of my different ideas, because I know I have a lot of them. And then we, you know, do lots of different things. And then, so like my latest idea was to do Airbnb for one of the rooms that I have in this house. And that's a departure from what we normally do or have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're like really cool about it, even though it's something new and it's, you know, possibly could interfere with our lives. But you're just like, yeah, let's test it out, see what happens. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's can help us in the future. And even though it might be a little uncomfortable for now, I think it maybe be like a good kind of discomfort to see, you know, what it can do for us later.
Yeah.
That made me feel loved.
Of course. You're welcome. What about you guys who are listening to the show? What made you feel loved today? We'd love to hear from you at swepttogether.com/episode22, where you can find all the resources that we mentioned in today's episode about travel hacking.
Ooh, if you also know some of your own travel hacking.
Yeah.
Tips, like, we want to know.
Hook up the Swept Together community with some comments, for sure.
And if you have enjoyed this episode of Swept Together, and you think somebody that you know, a friend, a travel buddy, a family member who likes to travel, or a significant other, a business partner maybe, share the episode with them. Go to swepttogether.com/episode22, or you can actually just share the episode from iTunes or the podcast app.
Right.
You can click share and then send it to them via text message, and then it'll send the link to them and everything, so it'll be...
And
really easy.
There's social share buttons on each of our blog posts.
On the website.
Show notes.
On the show notes, yeah.
There's, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff.
And you can find us everywhere on social media at Swept Together. If you like that kind of thing, go to, you know, Facebook, Instagram,
Twitter.
And we're at Facebook. At Facebook, no. At Swept Together.
Yes.
So, and yeah, like we were saying, you know, travel is, at least to me, I think, is the best way to gain perspective about the world. And, you know, it's a weird kind of contrast, because travel, at the same time that it makes the world seem really big, it can also show like how small it really is at the same time. And it's mm-hmm. another contrast would be like to show how much beauty we have in our differences, you know, the different cultures that we have come across in our travels. But also traveling just shows us that we are all really alike. Even though we have those differences, we are just like one human species. And we're not foreign to each other. It's just that we have different perspectives on the world, and traveling really opens up that kind of perspective to you. And we really encourage you guys to do it. And if we can help you in your travel goals, reach out to us, let us know, and we can point you in the right direction.
It's a small world after all. It's a small
Thanks for tuning in, guys. And we will talk to you next week.
It's a small
world.
Where your companion is?
Where you travel for cheap. Home is where you travel for cheap. Where you scheme so you can travel for cheap. Where you score the points.
Having a companion. Pass.
Home is where you keep the money.
No.
Where you keep the points. Scheming for points. Where you get all the points. Where you plan your route. Where we find out where we're going next. Where you map your next destination. Flutist?
Why do I imagine him playing the flute? I guess he doesn't.
He has a mustache, that's why. And you think of Ron Burgundy.
Does he play the flute?
The Yaz flute.
Oh, well.
Were you, like, really into Yanni when you were young? Yanni sings Barney favorites.
Baby beluga in the deep blue sea. I'm maybe thinking of Raffi, not Yanni.
I don't even know who that is.
Swims
either.
So wild and he swims so free.